This is the Friday, April 20th, 2018 version of the market analysis segment from Market to Market. Mother Nature's velvet hammer has been striking across the country. Its blows of snow and warm weather have given the commodity markets something to focus on other than China. For the week, July wheat fell back 11 cents while the nearby corn contract lost 12 cents. A sell-off by farmers and the funds pushed July soybean contract down a nickel. July meal slid $11.50 per ton. In the softs, nearby cotton improved $1.38 per hundredweight. Over in the dairy parlor, May Class 3 milk futures were 18 cents higher. The livestock sector had a volatile week as the June cattle contract gained 8 cents, August feeders put on 305, and the June lean hog contract lost a dime. In the currency markets, the U.S. dollar index gained 28 ticks. Crude oil leapt $6.30 per barrel, a 10% jump. COMEX gold melted $9.60 per ounce. And the Goldman Sachs Commodity Index skyrocketed 20 points to finish the week at 473.70. Joining us now to offer insight on these and other trends is one of our regular market analysts, Ted Seifried. Ted, welcome back.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here, Delaney.
Ted, I feel like I'm a broken record when we talk about the wheat market, but it feels like weather is still the big story here. Do you anticipate us losing a lot of those spring wheat acres that the USDA originally projected to corn, soybeans, and other crop?
Yeah, well, whenever we're in the middle of a growing season or the beginning of a growing season for spring wheat, then weather is going to be something we talk about on a very regular basis. But as far as spring wheat is concerned, yes, I think the market had priced in the idea that we were going to lose a fair amount of those spring wheat acres. But with the weather forecast that we have going forward, I think we've taken some of that premium back out. You saw spring wheat on Thursday down pretty heavily, partially because of the cancellations we saw in export sales, but also because, again, we've kind of changed that forecast a little bit, and it looks better. So I think we'll get a lot of the spring wheat acres in, maybe not quite as much of what the USDA was looking for. I know that there are some guys that have already made plans to switch to soybeans in some of those areas. But I still think we'll have a fairly hardy spring wheat crop. And, again, maybe a little bit more bean acres.
Okay. Ted, as we transition into corn here, I want to take a social media question right off the top. Joseph in Wisconsin wants to know, with winter's grasp on the northern states, will we see a bump in the corn market before Mother's Day brunch?
Hi, Joseph. I think we may have seen that bump already, and I think we've taken the last 10 days or so and taken a lot of that bump away. For a little while there, it looked like we were going to have a very hard time getting this corn crop planted, and it made it kind of seem like 88 million acres was going to be a stretch for corn. But as the forecast changes and as the forecast gets warmer and things, as they do this time of year, start to look better, I think that we're going to start to see those acres get in. And I think we're going to, or we have seen the market take away that premium. And even here on Friday, market was down pretty heavily just based on the idea that temperatures are warming up and we're going to get a chance to get in and plant. And we might actually do better than that 88 million acres. I think there's probably 1 million to 1.2 million acres that we might find when we get into planting, not just for corn, but, as for the big three as a whole. But I think there's some extra acreage out there, and we might do better than that 88 million.
And I think that's maybe a question a lot of producers are at home might be thinking, with this delay in planting, are we going to see some of those acres transition from corn to soybeans or vice versa? And then, of course, those extra acres you were talking about.
Yeah, originally I was kind of thinking we'd see about 90 million acres of corn. Now, the slow start that we have gotten off to, I'm scaling that back a bit. I'm still thinking 89 million acres of corn. I think it's going to be better than the 88 million. But, we probably lost the opportunity to really push the acres more than what the USDA survey had said. So, again, either way, below 90 million acres, that puts us in a position for corn where even at a trend line yield, we're still going to have a declining balance sheet by a fair amount. Demand has been really very solid. And, acreage is really low in comparison to what we've seen in the last few years. So there's a good story for corn going into this growing season. If there's any bumps or hiccups in this growing season weather-wise, corn might have a really quite friendly story.
With that being said, when we look at this December contract specifically, do you anticipate another little bump or another little rally here as we head into planting season?
Well, yeah. I mean, we've come off our highs just in the last couple weeks. Again, kind of removing some of that weather premium. And as we get into planting, and if planting progresses fairly smoothly, we can still stay under a bit of pressure for the next few weeks or so. But then I do think we'll start to add in a bit of a weather premium back into the market. We usually look for highs in corn in June or July. And for what I'm looking for, I'm looking for corn highs to be between 4.25 and 4.50 without any real major weather problems. I mean, if you look at the long-term forecasts right now, there's quite a bit of heat in there. A lot of the weather analysts are thinking that we're going to see one of the top 10 hottest Junes and Julys. So that just by itself, I think, gets us up to those levels. If we do actually have more of a problem and precip is less than expected, you could see that push a little bit further. I mean, we're in a situation where we don't have, in my opinion, enough corn acres to sustain any sort of weather problem. And again, if yields come off of trend, which they haven't really done in the last few years, maybe we're due for something like that, then we really, really could have a story for corn.
For those farmers sitting on some old crop, let's say in the May contract, should they be looking to make some cash sales? I mean, we've seen some resistance here between 380, 384. Should we be looking to make some sales going into planting?
Yeah, so for old crop, it always depends on, you know, where you are, where you're at in your sales cycle and what needs to move and how quickly. If things need to move in the next few weeks, then yes, I think you need to sell because, again, we could be heavy into planting. But if you're able to sit into the midsummer months, I would look to do that because, again, I think we're going to have some weather and just our normal, you know, summer growing season where we get to see better prices than what we're looking at here today. Hopefully you had made some sales, you know, a couple weeks ago when we were up near the highs.
Okay, let's move on to beans.
Yeah.
Argentina sourced quite a bit, we'll say, of bean meal or beans for bean meal production last week. How's that affecting our export sales in the soybean markets? Are we going to be on track here for USDA projections?
Well, Argentina buying soybeans from the U.S. is interesting. I mean, it is very interesting. It says two things. One, that they know that they're going to need soybeans. And they're, by the way, they're buying it for next year. They're not. It's not for this current marketing year, which means they're looking at the need coming later, further in time. The second thing it says is that we were very well priced. Because the only reason for them to do that rather than buy from Brazil is if we're really very competitive. There was a positive and a negative at the same time. Now, the amount, we're talking a couple cargoes here. I don't really think that Argentina is going to come in for a huge amount of soybeans to, say, offset some China demand.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really see that as being realistic. But I think Argentina is going to get all the beans that they need, whether it's from their stocks or from their neighbors or partially from us, in order to crush just as much as what the USDA is currently looking at. World crush hasn't really changed. And, you know, if you look at the soybean complex as a whole, meal has kind of led the way lower here in the last couple weeks. And that's based on the fact that we've had really very good crush margins. We've seen the crush here domestically really catch on fire. I mean, we were looking at a record by a long shot for last month. And we're kind of flooding the market with meal. And we're not seeing these big meal exports that I think we had been hoping for. So I think meal is going to be the anchor here for the next few weeks for soybeans. And I, you know, soybeans where they closed on Friday, we broke some key support. I'm a little worried that we've got some more downside potential in soybeans in the short term. But just like we were talking about in corn, as we get into a growing season, you know, we usually find a reason to kind of bounce back up. And we may do that for soybeans, but I'm a lot more friendly for corn at this point in time than I am from soybeans from the prices that we're at right now.
Okay. And when you look at the short term downside potential we have in the soybean markets, how much more downside potential? What are you looking for a price target?
Yeah, so July beans, I think, can get down to about 1024 or so. So I think there's a little bit more work. I honestly, though, wouldn't be surprised if we get a bit lower than that, 1012, 1006, 1008, somewhere in that neighborhood. I look at the big sales that we've had the last couple of weeks has been really the most friendly part of it. As Brazilian premiums have risen, we've become more attractive to the rest of the world. But now that's simmering down in Brazil. The trade talks are simmering down. Brazil continues to roll on their harvest. They continue to bring stocks to ports. So, I think that calms down. And as it does, it takes away the biggest reason, aside from meal, why we're sort of up here in soybeans. So I'm worried that beans could see a flush out as we get into planting. And then as we get into maybe June or July, that might be the next time to see some halfway decent prices again.
Okay. We had the cattle on feed report come out today, just here on Friday. With the second largest number in inventory since 1996, do you foresee further weakness in the front month contracts with that being said?
Well, look at where June cattle is trading. I mean, we're trading at a big, big discount to cash right now, and it's for that reason.
Okay.
All right? So I think for the most part, we've factored in the cattle on feed report. It came in within expectations. It wasn't any big spot shock, at least for the on feed number. Yeah, I don't see that as being an overwhelmingly bearish factor going forward. I think that's part of the reason why we are where we are. Going forward, cash has held up fairly well, and that big discount to cash that we have in the June contract, I think at some point gets rectified. Whether that's lower cash or higher futures, that remains to be seen, but I think it's going to be a bit of a combination of the two. I think that the lows might be in for cattle at this point. Not saying that we can't go back down and test those lows, and maybe cattle on feed will be a reason to do that early next week. But over time, I do think cattle can come back. The problem that we have is box beef cutouts are at the lowest level that they've been at since February of 2016.
But would you anticipate those to gain some strength here as we head into the summer grilling season?
Right. So that's where I was going with that, Delaney. You know, we're getting into, with warmer weather, we're still going to start getting to that peak demand season. Really the peak demand season, the grilling season, we seem to get off to a great start, and then it slows down towards the end of the summer into the fall, kind of reinvigorates towards the end of the fall as we try to get their last minute in. But, you know, mid to late spring into early summer is really the hot spot time for that. So hopefully, yes, we are going to see demand pick up from where it has been. I mean, with the cold spring that we've had so far, we haven't been going out and grilling.
Yeah.
That'll start to change. So hopefully we'll start to chew through those stocks pretty quickly, and that might give us a good reason to hold cash reasonably where it is. Maybe box beef prices can come up, and that I think will allow the June contract to start to come up as well. And I'm currently targeting 112 to 116-ish for the June live cattle.
Okay. When we look at feeder cattle and how those placement numbers affected the feeder cattle markets, down 9%. So do we really have a lot fewer cattle out there, and could this help the feeder cattle rally?
Yeah, 91% placed on feed. That is a pretty friendly number. And that was really the biggest surprise on the cattle on feed report, because we were looking for that number to be low, but not as low as it was. That should be pretty friendly for the feeder cattle coming in on Monday. I mean, again, we were expecting a lower number, but wow, okay. It's going to be hard finding animals for a little bit of time. And again, I think that is going to really underpin and probably pretty significantly support the feeder cattle. And as the cattle complex as a whole, I really like to see cattle rallies led by feeder cattle. So once the dust settles on the cattle on feed report with the negative on feed numbers and cattle, I'm kind of looking for everything to work their way higher.
Okay, really quick here, just brief moment here for hogs. We've seen a huge premium here with the June contract. How much more premium does June have?
I'll say I didn't really like the export sales numbers we saw. Second lowest we've seen in this marketing year. And that concerns me. So I think maybe we have a near-term high in the hogs. Longer term, maybe we can chew higher. But I think we have a near-term high in the hogs. I think we'll come back down, hopefully to try to find more of that export business again and reinvigorate domestic demand. But no, I'm a little worried that there's some downside there for the hogs yet.
Okay, and we'll finish that discussion during Market Plus. Ted Seifert, thank you so much for joining me.
Pleasure's mine, Delaney.
That wraps up the broadcast portion of Market to Market, but we will keep the conversation going on Market Plus, where we'll answer more of your questions. You can find it on our website at iptv.org/MTOM. If you're stuck in the house due to bad weather, then check out our Facebook page. You'll find pictures, polls, and you can leave our analysts a question. Give us a like. Join us again next week when we explore how Florida farmers are bouncing back after Hurricane Irma. So until then, thanks for watching. I'm Delaney Howell. Have a great week.